where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. So welcome back, everybody, to episode, I think it's 13, of the Critical Moves podcast, the best strategy gaming podcast on the planet. Wouldn't you agree? I'm joined by Tim. Say hi, Tim.
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
And Joe.
Hey, everybody. Lucky number 13.
Lucky or unlucky. We'll have to wait and see what happens. Today, we are going to be looking at the recent announcement of Stellaris 4.0. We've done, last episode was Paradox Games. The one before that was Stellaris. But we're not all about Stellaris. There's other things we talk about as well. And the other thing we're going to cover today is the current ongoing Steam RTS Fest. Let's look at some titles which are available, give you some recommendations. Let's start with the big announcement, Joe. Stellaris 4.0, the Phoenix update. You've had a chance to check out the announcement.
I did. I thought it was pretty interesting. They're doing a lot. One of my favorite things they're doing is they are trying to work on the late game lag by combining pops. It seemed pretty detailed, but it makes sense. Basically, what they're doing is they're taking a world of pops and combining like pops, and instead of doing all those calculations for what each one is going to do, they're just going to say all the clerics on Earth 2, we're just going to calculate for all those clerics that are the same race. Rather than calculating for 15 different calculations, they're just going to do one.
And that's exactly what they did with Victoria Tree, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so it feels like it should really slow or really speed things up in the late game. I've hardly even made it to the late game because I can't handle slowdowns at all. I immediately quit.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things I read about it, which was quite interesting, was that they said that all of these calculations for every single pop happens sequentially. So they will work out the happiness and then how productive they are. And they can't do them all at once. So they just back into each other. And once you get to late game or even mid game, I suppose, if you've got many empires with lots of very, very populated worlds, you're talking about an absolute ton of calculations, which are done every single day.
Yeah. That's the crazy part, is they were doing them every day. And so towards the end, it's just way too much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tim, have you had a chance to look at the announcement? Was anything that jumped out at it for you?
Someone told me that they listened to my advice and changed things because they heard it here on the podcasts.
I think that's what happened. Of course. They basically said in a dev diary that they were going to change how anomalies worked because nobody wants another window popping up.
Wow.
And it was like they had heard Tim talking.
What do you mean it was like? That's exactly what happens.
And so how
it's
the new system...
they heard you talking.
How it's going to work now is when you get an anomaly, rather than a pop-up, it's just going to be in the top right corner, and you can come back to it later and say, okay, now I want you to deal with this. And so instead of being this pop-up, it's more like a situation that you can deal with later. So I think it's a plus, but I thought that, while cool, I didn't think that was quite the strongest one, because it's still sort of still a screen, but it's a better screen, I guess, a less annoying screen, but well, for me, the jury's still out on that change.
I think they're trying to make it more aesthetic, I suppose, aren't they? They're trying to make it a more of a pleasurable experience rather than just being bombarded with all these notifications. And I think that one thing that I do find when playing Stellaris is that you could be in the middle of doing something and then you get this pop-up about an anomaly or something that needs to be completed, and it just breaks the chain of what you're doing, breaks the immersion as well to a degree. So anything which allows you to focus on the core tenets of the gameplay is a good idea.
Yeah, I feel like it's really easy when you get further in, you've got a big empire and you're doing a lot, to have something pop in and break your train of thought. And you're like, what was I even doing? I was going to do something. Yeah. That was important. The people of Third Earth need me. And now I can't remember what they need.
Because of something which is usually quite minor. It's one of the things I saw, and I don't know whether it's because I play heavily modded anyway, and one of the events popped up, and the only way you could end it was, why are you bothering me with this? And I just thought it was... So it probably was a mod, because it was a bit of a a jab at the game, at the developers.
Tongue-in-cheek.
But it's the biggest change that we've seen, or that we will see, in the game's 9-year history. It's going to be quite interesting to see what they come up with. So. And it's coming out at the same time as the DLC for the main DLC for 2025. But of course, there's no information on what that is yet.
Yeah.
So, what else do you have for us, Al, today?
The other thing is the Steam RTS Fest.
It's in full swing this week.
Full swing?
Yeah, it's been going on since, what, the 21st?
Yes, and I think it runs until the 27th. I think it's this weekend is the last weekend. And there's some fairly interesting titles which people can get a hold of if they're interested in doing so. And I figured that it would be a good idea today to have a look at what's available and maybe make some recommendations, either games that you've played and you think others should play, or games that you would like to try yourself. So, Tim, why don't you kick us off?
Oh, yeah, certainly. I talked before about Terra Invicta, and I recommend the game. I definitely do. And now it's definitely on sale. And Hooded Horse has even a sci-fi strategy bundle, where they bundled it together with a couple of other games, including Nebulous Fleet Command, really, really cool game, where it feels very hard sci-fi space battles, basically. Really fun. Together with Stir Invicta, it's on a 50% sale. So that's if you're into sci-fi space battles, hard sci-fi especially, I really recommend that. Yeah,
I love that game. We've talked about it before, and I haven't jumped in years. I played it right when it came out, and I went hard into it.
It's
like a 60-hour game that I didn't even finish.
It's a time sink. It's crazy. Yeah, you can lose yourself into that game. It's. But I mean, I personally like those games where you can really like you immerse yourself into that universe and you don't look back.
I haven't jumped back in because I'm like, I got to let them get a lot done before I give them another 100 hours for a game.
Yeah. It's still in early access. That is something to know, and I want to put that out there. It's still in early access. There's a big update coming that hasn't been released yet, but it's not a finished product just yet.
It's not, but don't you think it kind of feels like it is? Like, it feels like a game
no,
you
it
can
does.
Play.
It does, but I mean, I want to say that because one, things are still going to change, and two, there are sometimes some small hiccups or some optimizations, and I think the pacing of the game needs to be improved. I think it can do better, because it doesn't go that smoothly, the pacing of the game. It can be slightly improved, but I say that as someone who loves the game, so I mean, you know, don't let that hold you back.
I would just get so into trying to steal other countries' organizations and stuff like that. Oh, my goodness. Such an odd thing to care about.
How long has it been in early access for?
2022. So, yeah. It's one of those.
Wow.
But they're making progress, though.
They are. And there's a big update coming that should change a lot, like fundamentally.
So it's not in early access hell.
No. It's being actively developed. No. And it's a team that I believe works only on this game. So.
Yeah, and they did the really famous Long War mod. So it shouldn't be a surprise that their game takes forever.
Do you want to do one each and keep going, or shall I just like list off all of my recommendations?
No, let's hear from Joe.
Okay, my first one, I haven't even gotten a chance to play. It's just a demo that looks really good to me that I was extremely interested in when I saw it. I was just when I was looking through the fest here, and it's called Darfall. It is kind of like Majesty. It's a hero-based RPG game where you build up your city throughout the day, and then at night you get invaded by hordes of undead, and you have to defend what you've built up. And the art looks pretty cool. Sounds fun. Sounds like something I'd like. I've been looking for a game like Majesty for a while, so I'm excited to give that one a try.
Is it in like the same vein as They Are Billions and Cataclysmo and games like that, then?
I haven't played They Are Billions, but it does seem like that. Although this one is more... I don't know. They Are Billions. Is it a city builder?
It's a city builder... Tower defense. almost like a tower defense sort of title.
Gotcha.
And this sounds like the same thing where you build up during the day and then they come at night.
Yeah.
And I think that's very. I don't think it's like a day night cycle thing with They Are Billions, but you get time to build up your defenses before and explore before the zombies come. So it sounds like it's in a similar vein.
Your hero that you either hire or whatever, they grow as you defend. So it's like an RPG too. And so that's one thing that delineates it. But it just sounds like something interesting that I downloaded the demo. We'll see when I can get to it. I'm looking forward to it, though. I'm definitely going to try it.
Well, the one that stood out for me on the RTS Fest is Tempest Rising. Now, I think we've mentioned this one before. If you are a fan of Command & Conquer, if you love those games like I did from 1996, 1995, 1996, then this is excellent. It's what you would expect Command & Conquer to be like in 2025. And you can get your hands on the demo as part of the RTS Fest. They don't often do demos for Tempest Rising. It's not out all the time. It's released for a week or so at a time. And I think this one is a multiplayer demo as well. So that might be worth checking out. Because you can check it out for free. Have you tried the demo yet?
I haven't.
Me neither. I thought about it. I really did. But it came down to, I was like, I think Al's going to talk about this one. So I think I can save my demo time.
It's worth a try. Honestly, it's a really, really polished experience. I'm going to see whether... I've been talking to one of the game designers. I'm going to try and get him on to come and talk to us about the game, probably closer to release. There's been a release date confirmed as well. I think it's April. April the 24th of this year. So they've still got 3 months to work on it. But it feels really, really polished already. It feels like it could be released in the state it's in. So I'm hoping that the 3 months is just used to add more content.
What makes you feel like it stands out? And if someone's like looking to play a new strategy game, why this one? Why not something else?
Well, I think it's the nostalgia part for me, because it's an extremely modern game, but it feels just like what it did when I first played Red Alert in 1996. It was the same feeling. Mm. It's not something which is tangible, really. You know, sometimes you get an emotional connection to games, and the Command & Conquer games is one of those ones which I have quite an emotional connection to, and this elicited those same feelings.
So what about a younger player that didn't play Red Alert and like that doesn't know that much about it and like might be interested in a new strategy game to play, but like what's in it for them?
It's a really, really polished RTS experience. Faction design's really, really good. The units are really well done. The missions that I've played are great missions as well. It's not sandboxed, you know. I think we seem to have like a move towards a more sandbox or multiplayer focus for a lot of games. But this is harking back to the golden age where you had really, really strong narrative campaigns. Mm. There's a multiplayer element as well, but I think as a single player experience, it's going to be right up there as one of the better strategy games that comes out this year.
All right.
So,
you know, that's designed for me. I like RTS games, but I have zero interest in the multiplayer aspects, and the story aspect is really important for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that it's the same for me. Just because I'm not very good at games, and I'm a sore loser. So multiplayer for me is just a recipe for me feeling really, really bad about how terrible I am. So I'm all about the single player experience, and most gamers are. Let's be honest. You know, there's studies which have been done that says that 80% of gamers class themselves as casual. You know, they're not hardcore. They're not into the competitive scene. Unlike Tim,
I'm a weirdo.
You're total weirdo, yeah. you're one of the 20%.
You know, Al, you're not bad at multiplayer games. You just don't give it the time it needs.
There you go.
If you want to do a New Year's resolution to get good at multiplayer games, I support you.
Okay. So what game shall I get good at then?
Tempest Rising.
There we go.
All right, then.
Or no. Someone told me about this awesome multiplayer game that's free. Tim, can you help me out with that one?
I think you're good friends here. Beyond All Reason, of course. It is, yes, just the best competitive player versus player RTS experience on the market, and it is free.
That's the one. That's the one, Al.
I think it's quite interesting that we are seeing, and I know we talked about this right at the start of the Critical Moves experience, this renaissance. You know, I think it's so fantastic for an old-time, old-school RTS player like me. We've got Tempest Rising coming to bring back all of those Command & Conquer memories. You've got Beyond All Reason coming back. I know it's been there for 20 years. but, you know, it's there to evoke those memories of Total Annihilation. You know?
I have some insider information that a big update is coming out for Beyond All Reason, a graphical update and UI update and everything like that. So it's coming on the up and up.
Okay, Al, I want to make a pitch here. I know you tried to change the subject, but I think that when the new graphical update comes out, you and I should both promise to give a certain amount of time towards the PvP aspect and then have a story time
podcast. Can you stream it?
All right. Yeah, we can stream it. Yeah.
We could stream it.
We can stream it. We'll put it on our YouTube channel. I think we've got a Twitch channel as well, which has never been used.
Lovely.
This sounds like fun. I have one memory of a multiplayer game when I played Red Alert 2. I was like, I'll do multiplayer. I'm awesome at this game. And somebody destroyed my base with dolphins.
Oh my god! you know that meme of like that purple blob in a box, and like, ooh, I'm gonna go outside, and then it gets punched in the face, and like, no, I'm gonna stay in.
I lost in like 2 minutes to four dolphins, and I was so pissed.
So have we got a time for this update, Tim?
It's too much inside information.
Yeah, so it is a two-part update. The first one, it's not exactly set yet. We'll talk about it on next episode, maybe, or on our Discord. Okay. You can look on our Discord as well. We'll keep you updated there. So shall we move on to the next game? I have one here. Not talked about it too much. But if you enjoyed Dune Universe and all its specialness, there is Dune Spice Wars, my apologies. It's 45% off. It is a modern RTS game. It is quite original. And it's very Dune heavy. So if you enjoyed the Dune Universe, it plays like you expect it to. It would, basically. Lots of like backstabbing, very asymmetrical factions, but also a lot of like RTS and a little bit of 4X in it as well. So it is quite interesting. And
lots of sand.
Lots of sand. There is sand in the game.
The story mode's pretty good.
So I'm me being me, I mostly played multiplayer. And what I enjoyed about the multiplayer aspect is that asymmetrical faction. So that was interesting for me. It's not my favorite game ever, but 50% off. I mean, you know, if you're into Dune, if you're into RTS, it's something to look for.
I think the asymmetry is the thing that stands out for me with that title, because it's so hard to do right.
It is. It really
is. It's so difficult to do asymmetry in a strategy game, an RTS game, and still be competitive. The balancing that's required is significant. Yeah. So 50% off. It's worth a try, but I won't be playing multiplayer. My next multiplayer experience is going to be Beyond All Reason, following the two updates, which will be live streamed on all major entertainment channels, or at least on our YouTube channel, so you can come and watch us be really, really bad at the game.
Yeah, I think you and I should do it independently, and then after we've done our streaming time, we should have a match.
Oh, I like this idea.
Because I'm terrible at it. You'll win, just so you know. I'm a great poker player, but I'm not playing poker.
No, you'll win. You'll win. No, you'll win.
You're going to beat me.
You know who's going to win is the listeners. That's who's going to win.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll go next. I thought of another game that I wanted to recommend, so I'm just going to throw it in on my next turn here, and that's Zero Space. It's an RTS. It's another demo that I have not played. But this one I'm going to play for sure, because it's all the modes share an MMO galaxy, like single player, co-op, PvE, PvP. They all share a galaxy. And you can change the galaxy and change the battle effort through what you're doing. Almost like it reminds me of an MMO, a Warcraft MMO that came out a long time ago and got canceled, that had the same sort of deal. And I don't know, it just sounds cool to me. It's a nice, I don't know if it's a gimmick or if it's a legit thing, but I like the idea of that. And then if you pull up their Steam page, I see that they're shooting at dinosaurs. And I was like, That's really all I need. I'm in. Shared universe, single player affects the multiplayer, dinosaurs too. Done.
Yeah, that does sound very appealing, actually.
Mm-hmm. The icing on the cake.
Yep.
Maybe I should check it out.
It's No, I'm thinking of Stormgate. It's another RTS, similar vein as Zero Space, I think. It's a free-to-play one, so ignore me. Mm. What is it about this one that jumps out at you, Joe? Is it just the dinosaurs? It's the fact that you shoot dinosaurs.
No, I really like the idea of the shared MMO galaxy map, where your faction can have goals and whatnot, and you can play the single player, but still feel like you're contributing to the multiplayer part a little bit. Yeah, I feel like that would possibly entice me to do more of the multiplayer. Although the first time somebody destroys me, I'll quit forever.
Yeah, but it takes the pressure off of the typical competitive experience, right?
It's funny. It is pressure. It's weird. Why we don't? It's interesting that we're on this podcast talking about strategy games, but we have this complete aversion to playing the multiplayer element of these games. It's quite interesting, really, because you're not losing anything. If you get beat, you're not losing anything. You know, you nothing happens, does it?
I see it a bit like, imagine you're going to go play chess now, and you're surrounded by people who've played thousands and thousands of hours of chess, and you arrive there, and you're like, you barely know the rules, and yeah, you're not going to have a good time. You're just going to, for at least 100 hours, you're just going to be beaten into submission over and over and over again. So that experience is really demoralizing if you're trying to get into it. Yeah. So you need this huge like input of like learning very slowly before you get anywhere where you feel good about what you're doing.
That's a great way to put it, because it is like that. You know, you're like, I played 5 hours of chess on my computer against the computer. I'm ready. And then Al's played 5,000 hours of chess against other people. And you step in after 30 minutes. You're like, I don't get it. What am I doing wrong? It's a great analogy.
Another game which I think people should be looking out for, it's in early access, is New Cycle, a survival city builder. So think Frostpunk. It looks like it could be quite an interesting sort of title. It's set after an apocalyptic series of solar flares, and society is thrown into disarray, and you've got to establish a settlement and develop it into an industrial metropolis. It's developed by Daedalic Entertainment. Currently half price on the RTS Fest, so I'm going to stick that in my basket and give it a whirl, because it looks really interesting. Have you had a look at that one?
I haven't heard of it, but I was just looking at it as you were talking about it. It does look interesting. I like that idea, that premise of a game. I did not like the sound of Frostpunk, so I never played it, but this sounds more my style. It looks cool, too.
And I think the reason why I like these kind of games is the reason why I don't like the multiplayer side of things is because they're forgiving. And that's the issue I find with multiplayer gaming, is that especially when you're looking at the ones which are very, very, very high actions per minute, you make a single slip up, a very, very small mistake, and you're instantly creamed. And I think that with your city builders, they're a lot more forgiving. You can test different strategies, test different theories, and really take your time and enjoy the experience. And I don't think that you get that in multiplayer gaming. So maybe that's why I like city builders more than anything else.
You know, that's why I never played Frostpunk. I read a review where someone said you could make a bad decision and lose the map and not even know it. And it could just keep going, and you're done for the rest of the map because you made one bad decision. And I was like, that's not for
me. I like the challenge of that, actually. And it's actually kind of funny, because my next on the list was actually literally Frostpunk 1. because it's actually 90%. It's 90% off, actually. We did mention it a little bit, I don't think I'm going to convince you, because it is a hard game, and it is about suffering.
I don't mind hard games.
It's about suffering and like losing and then learning from your loss and then trying again and doing it better next time.
See, I'm an American, and I really felt that till you said trying again and growing, and I was like, oh, that's.
I don't think it's like that. I mean, but my experience of Frostpunk is not that it's yes, it is difficult, but it never felt to me that you make a single mistake and it's game over. You know, it's a really atmospheric, story driven,
it is
enjoyable title, and it's what a few dollars at the moment.
Oh, it's basically free.
It's $8.
It's basically free. The thing is, it feels constantly like you're about to lose everything. That's the experience you're gaining. Is like, oh my god, I'm struggling so hard, and there's another challenge coming up, and I don't think I'm going to survive that one. That's the feeling you have.
So if I do get it, do I need the Game of the Year edition, you guys, so I can get the expansions, or am I good without it?
Yeah, you're good without it, for starters, for sure.
The base game is a very solid, enjoyable experience all by itself without any DLCs. The DLCs don't really introduce anything to the base game. They're more additional scenarios. So you're not losing anything by not trying the DLCs. It's just a case of we introduce new maps and new scenarios rather than new mechanics. Really, really worth picking up if you've got a spare $8. Is that $8?
It's just $3 for the game of the year. If you don't want
$3. Yeah. Come on,
that's free. This is basically free.
It's the price of a coffee, isn't it? If that.
You can't even get a coffee for that.
So it's the price of half a coffee. Try it, man. You'll get sucked in. I'm now feeling like I'm going to have to reinstall it and because I know we talked about it on the morality episode. It hits like quite unlike any other strategy game that I've played. And I know it was Tim's recommendation, but it's highly, highly recommended by me as well.
And since you're recommending it, I'm going to go with another game real quick. I'm going to be greedy. I'm sure you don't mind. Another game that's basically free, Tooth and Tail. It's a very original strategy game that you can play with a controller. And I would never, ever recommend people play strategy games, especially RTS games, with a controller, except for this one. It's rather on the simple side. You control one main character, and you have to run around and like build things and recruit units and move around and fight. But it's like very casual, so don't expect something too complex. But like, you're sitting at home, you have a friend over, you have two controllers, you want to just enjoy some time playing some RTS on like a big screen or on a projector or something. This is the ideal game for it. It is PvP if you play it with two, but like, it's very casual, very fun. Something extraordinarily rare in RTS games, I would say. To have a fun casual controllers, a couch game to play together like this, very rare, and it's even cheaper than Frostpunk right now. Tooth and Tail.
I looked, that one's $3 also, and as an American, we think of it as double cheeseburgers. That's one double cheeseburger.
It sounds fantastic. Lead the revolution with an army of flame-throwing boars, mustard gas-lobbing skunks, and paratrooper-puking owls. I'm sold.
Yeah, the artwork is really cute, too.
Isometric, isn't it? It looks really interesting.
Yeah, it does.
It's good that they have these sales, isn't it? It just gives you a chance to dip into things that you might normally try. I mean, you probably wouldn't think about paying £15 or
no,
however much that is in silly money. but for a couple of quid.
That's probably about seven double cheeseburgers.
Yeah, yeah. So this is one double cheeseburger. It's the new Critical Moves podcast currency is cheeseburgers. So yeah, it's certainly one to look at. Another one which I'd highly recommend is a very old game. It's coming up to almost 20 years old. DEFCON, and it's the subtitle for DEFCON is Everybody Dies, which I think is just glorious. Inspired by did you ever watch War Games, the movie from I think it was like the early 80s?
No, but I'm familiar with it.
So it's inspired by that. It's a nuclear war simulator, but with some quite basic graphics, and ultimately the end result is you get to DEFCON 1, launch your nukes, and as it says, everybody dies. And I think the aim is to kill more of them than they kill of you.
It's brutal.
Price one double cheeseburger.
Nice.
Worth picking up for a couple of hours, hours of entertainment. It's certainly worth doing, and there's a PvP mode as well for Tim.
I bet that would be fun to play with a friend.
I've actually seen people play that online, and that made me want to play, actually. Yeah,
we'll do that next.
I'm in.
You're gonna suck me into this world of getting murdered online. I don't like where this is going.
Look, join the dark side. This sounds like an awesome Patreon experience. Mm-hmm. To watch us take each other on in DEFCON, or what's that one where you're princes in hell? I think that would be another good one for a multiplayer game between us. I don't remember what that game is though.
You mean like the dungeon
Diablo?
No. We'll have to talk about it later, because I can't remember the name at all. But it's a remake of an older game, and the whole thing is you just trying to build up your forces and backstabbing each other, and you can...
Oh, yeah, no, I know which game you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, it looks like a lot of fun to
play. With each other and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's a RTS game, but you play as like demons or devils or something. Yeah. Very multiplayer focused really game.
Yeah, I don't even know if there is a single player for it.
Two quick recommendations I have for the RTS Fest, Steam Fest. Old games, more than 20-year-old games that have like a HD update or something like that. One is Stronghold, Crusader HD. Very fun, basically castle building and castle destroying sieging game. Basically, also it's one double cheeseburger, so pretty okay, and very fun game.
Not bad at all.
Stronghold Crusader HD, if you want the single player experience, but there's a very small community of PvP with a non HD version, because that's where they stuck. Now, the other one real quick is Kozak's Tree. It's like a remake of Kozak's 1, but like very old game, made in Ukraine, actually, and really, really fun. It's a very different RTS game than the old classics. The resource management system is different. The recruitment whole thing, it works all a little bit different. But it's a very fun game for battles with like many thousands of units on the map, just shooting at each other.
Yeah, the battles look good.
The battles are huge, and it's like 1700s, 1800s warfare, which you don't see too much of, actually. Just like the Total War game has that, but other than that, you don't see it a lot. So this is really fun. Very old game, now remade a couple of years ago, or quite a few years ago, and now it's on sale for two double cheeseburgers.
Yeah, not bad at all. Perfect. Okay, I'm going to do a couple now. I've got three ones I'm going to just do quick. First is Infection Free Zone. I think this one looks so fun. I've been sort of dancing around with this. Will I, won't I buy this game? I think I'm just going to do it now that it's on sale. I really love the idea of choosing your own base of operations based on your city. I've got a middle school about 6 blocks away from me. I think it would be perfect as a base of operations to take on the zombies. Feels really immersive to me. I think I'm going to do it. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
Yeah, it does sound fun. Yeah, I want to try it sometime.
Is there a... it's a fully single-player game, isn't it? I'm just thinking whether we could...
See, you're in. You're in.
Or is is there... Because I think it's the kind of game which I think would be really, really fun co-op. Wouldn't it?
For sure. Okay, I've got a couple more. I don't know if I'm going to recommend any specifically, but I think all the main Paradox Interactive games are on sale. Mm. You can get so much time out of Stellaris, Crusader Kings 3, Victoria 3. Victoria 3 is kind of contentious. Not everybody likes it, but I really like it. Absolutely. I like getting into the deep economics.
Yeah,
I like taking... Yeah, isn't it fun? I like taking Haiti and turning Haiti into a world power. I like telling France, go away. Go away, France. I'm friends with Britain. Leave me alone. So, I like Victoria 3. And then my other recommendation, my last one, is Last Train Home. This is another one I haven't played. I'm only talking about games I haven't played, unfortunately, except for the Paradox games. But Last Train Home looks really cool to me. You're basically a group of soldiers that are trying to get home after the war's over, and you're just trying to make it across this battlefield with what you've got without losing all your soldiers. And it just sounds really cool to me, really atmospheric. I think it sounds like it's got a great story. Now it's on super sale.
But you say the war is over, so where lies the difficulty?
Well, the war's over, but the fight can... this is what it says on the thing. The war's over, the fight continues, you know? It's you've still got to go across enemy lands to get back to yours, I think, is the point of it. But it's only 6.5 double cheeseburgers. That's not too bad.
All right. That's a lot of double cheeseburgers.
Maybe for you.
I couldn't do 6.5 in one sitting, so that's...
this sounds like another Patreon episode.
The cheeseburger challenge.
I think Nuno would win, actually.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. He looks like he's a beast when it comes to his food. Mm-hmm.
You guys really made me hungry.
Tim's heading out for a double cheeseburger now. Let's wrap it up there. Thanks for listening, if you've made it this far. Come to our Discord and tell us if you've picked up any of our recommendations or if there's anything else you would like to recommend to us. The link to Discord, to all of our social media, is on criticalmovespodcast.com. Come and chat to us. And the best thing to do to support this podcast is to share this episode if you've enjoyed it. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, next week we'll be talking about effective strategies that we have used in our games and how they compare across different games.
That sounds very complicated. Mm. Thanks very much, and I'll see you again.
Cheers.
Bye.